So tonight, I get the privilege to share. Thank you for allowing me to share with you. I consider it a privilege to speak before you guys. And, but I always want to give you something I feel like is a word from God for you for now. And so that's just a fancy, noble way of saying I'm horrible at preparing ahead of time. I'm procrastinating, you know. But anyway, so as I was working on this message today, and, God usually gives me something. And so I've had this for, a little over a week, and I just waited to develop it, you know. It was procrastination, but I prefer to call it, waiting on the Lord. So anyway, so as I was working on this message, I came across something a week or so ago, and, it just jumped out at me. And y'all might think it's odd and weird that it jumped out at me, but it jumped out at me. Okay. And so I was actually looking for something else, and I came across this scripture, in Amos. Amos is just a small book. It's one of the minor prophets. And, I've never really studied Amos much or thought much about the book of Amos. It's just a short, small book in the Bible. But as I was reading it, something really jumped out at me. So I'm going to set this up for you. Tell you a little bit about what was going on at the time of that this was written, the time of the book. Israel was becoming prosperous. Man, things were going really good economically for Israel. They were growing. Things were going good. They were prosperous. And things looked really good on the outside materialistically. Man, they looked good. The economy was up. Things were thriving. It was a thriving, growing nation. But that was on the outside. That was in the natural. But they had strayed away from the principles of God. They had strayed away from the heart of the Lord. They began during this time, and this was a big part of what Amos wrote about, was the way they treated each other. They had lost love for one another. They had began to see their own personal gain as more important than how they treated others. It's known as one of the books of the Bible that really addresses social injustice. The way they're treated, there was human trafficking going on. They said there were whole communities that were captured and sold into slavery. There was immoral things being done to women. And there was just lots of evil, lots of really bad things going on in how people were treated. They were oppressing the poor, the needy, and there was nobody there to stand up for them. And so it was really a sad state spiritually. They had forgotten God. Spiritually, they were dying. They were losing. They were forgetting God and losing all connection and moral responsibility to uphold the principles of God. It was a nation that was in a sad state spiritually. They had forgotten God. But how many of you are glad that even though we forget God sometimes, God doesn't forget us? God doesn't forget us. And time again, we saw this with the children of Israel, how they would move away from God. God would do great things for them, and they would seem to just forget about all that, and they would stray away from God. But God always came after them. And I'm so thankful today that, I read about Israel a lot of times, and I think, man, they were just stupid. They were so forgetful. What's wrong with these people? But every time I start going down that path, I realize that I'm the same way. I mean, I do the same thing. And if you're honest with yourself, all of us do the same thing. We tend to get comfortable in our situation when things are going good, and we tend to get comfortable and start relying on our own self and start going our own way. How many know God always has to pull us back sometimes? But thank God that when we forget about Him, we start to go away from Him. And when Israel did, He didn't forget about them. He said, I'm not going to let them continue down that path. I will pursue them. Are you glad tonight that we serve a God that pursues us? That pursues us. All throughout time, He has pursued us constantly. He gave His only Son for us. I mean, all through the Bible, you can see how God has always reached out to what seems to be just a hopeless case, a hopeless society, a hopeless people. He's continually reached out and made a way, reached out and pulled us in. By the way, Larry, it's so good to see you tonight. Man, it's so good. You may be here on Sunday, but I don't know. I don't get to see you. But Larry, we love you, man. So good to have you. Good to see you up here jumping. Larry's one of those guys that he'll make you feel convicted in praise and worship, He's up here jumping, and I'm just like, okay, I guess I need to jump too, but, I've got an excuse. Nobody wants to watch a big guy dance, so anyway. But anyway, Larry, it's really good to have you. Really good to see you tonight. You just bring a smile to my face. When Larry, see, I was up in their balcony when I first saw you. I said, "Hey, Larry's here." Yeah. But Joe was grumpy. He's like, "So what?" No, just kidding. Oh, I think my mic. Okay, all right. The mic's messing up. It said something about Joe on accident. Okay, anyway. So, where was that? Let's see. So they had forgotten God, but God didn't forget them. God went after them. God pursued them. And God had a wake-up call for the nation of Israel. He had a wake-up call. He wasn't going to let them continue on. Now, if you ever need a wake-up call from God, you know, it might not be comfortable, okay? It might not be comfortable. You might not like it at the time it happens. But if you can realize it and appreciate it for what it is and respond the right way, man, God's saving grace is always available. That wake-up call is God's salvation reaching out to you. And so that's where Israel was at. They were in a position where, man, things were horrible spiritually. They were a sinful nation. Even though they were doing good on the outside, they were sinful. And so God had a wake-up call, but he needed a messenger to deliver the wake-up call. Okay? And so that's kind of what we're going to spend our time on tonight. And we don't have much time to spend, so we may have to finish this some other time. But we're going to start off here tonight. We're going to talk about the messenger, Amos. Everybody say Amos.
Amos.
Amos. Not famous Amos, like the cookie, but Amos, the prophet. Well, we don't even call him a prophet yet. You'll see in just a minute. Let's talk about Amos. So Amos had a tough message to deliver. There's some Kleenex up here, and I don't know if it's got snot on or not. So I'm just like, anyway. So anyway. So Amos had a tough message to deliver, right? Because of the condition of the heart of Israel. The word of God to Israel was a hard word. It was a wake-up call. It was a prophecy of judgment. It's not a fun chapter to read. I'll tell you that right now. It's not a fun chapter to read. And the people that the word was directing to, they didn't want to hear it. I mean, nobody likes to be called out on something, right? Especially, even sometimes if they know they're doing wrong, nobody likes to be called out when they're doing wrong. It's not comfortable at first. I mean, at my house, on the very rare occasion that I mess up and do something wrong, and my wife has to call me out on it. I mean, you know, what are you laughing about over there, huh? The rail. Look, see, I'm getting called out right now. The rare occasion. I didn't say it was a rare occasion that I get corrected or I get. I said it's a rare occasion that I did something wrong. So I mean, I get jumped on every day. No, I'm just kidding. Nicole's not. Can we edit that part? Nicole's not in here, so she can't defend herself. Anyway, I know y'all are shocked about that. That Nicole sometimes has to confront me with things, but nobody likes it. But here's Israel. They clearly strayed. I mean, you start reading in that chapter the things they had done. There's no question. You know, they were not following God. They had gone far from God. But even though they had clearly strayed and they had no moral standards anymore, they turned a blind eye to what they were doing because of the gain that it brought. And so we have to be careful as Christians. We have to be careful as Christians to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. To be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Never let something go unnoticed or unchecked because it might mess something up that you got going on. But that's where they were at. Man, times were good. They didn't want to hear the correction. They didn't want to hear they're doing something wrong. But enough was enough. And God sent Amos to deliver a message that would restore accountability to the children of God. It would restore accountability. That's what his message was. Look, you've done this long enough. The buck stops here. And this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Because of your sin and because of your disregard for God and the heart of God and the things of God, this is what's going to happen. And he pronounced some harsh judgments on them. And we're not going to go into the judgments. That's not what my focus is tonight. But the message was, in the wake-up call, you got to remember the purpose of it. The purpose was to direct them back towards a God who loved them and cared about them and wanted to bless them and he wanted to call them his own. But with what they were doing, he couldn't do that. And so he couldn't do that. He couldn't bless them. He couldn't help them in their current state. So he sent Amos. Now, the people didn't like the words and the warning that he gave him. In fact, they rejected his words. And so we're going to pick up right here in Amos chapter 7, verse 16. So he had already pronounced some judgments. He had already told them, look, this is what God said. And this was their response. Now, Amaziah, he was the head priest of the area. He was the head priest. He was the head honcho, the spiritual head over all the children of Israel, the house of Judah, of the house of Israel. And it calls it Joseph in this chapter and things like that. But this is what Amaziah said in verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, he sent to Jeroboam, the king of Israel. He sent a letter to the king. He was ratting Amos out, trying to get Amos in trouble. He said, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear his words. And then to Amos, this was the head priest. Amos came with a word from the Lord. And the head priest accused him of being a conspirator, told the king he's conspiring against you. He's prophesying that you'll die. And then he turned to Amos and he said, Jeroboam, he told him what Amos said, that Jeroboam would die. And in verse 12, then Amaziah said to Amos, go, you seer, you prophet, go to the land of Judah. Go eat your bread there and prophesy there. But never again prophesy in Bethel, for this is the king's sanctuary and his royal residence. In other words, we don't have time or room for this garbage that you're telling us. This was the word of God that he said. Can you imagine? Can you imagine going somewhere and feeling like, well, you've got a word from the Lord and this is the response you get? Shut up. Get out of here. You're not welcome here. Go somewhere else and do your prophesying and things like that. So he got a really bad rebuke and rejection. And then, but then Amos said in verse 14, but then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor I was the son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder, a shepherd, and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Amos, and this is what I love about this thing. I love what he said there. Amos was a simple man. He was just an ordinary guy. He was a shepherd. Now we don't have many shepherds these days, but back then that was pretty common. You know, you're a shepherd. And he tended some trees. He was just an ordinary, plain, very simple guy. And he said, while he was at work, while he was going about his business, God showed up and told him to do something. See, God uses a lot of ordinary people in the Bible. You know, if you read through the Bible, you see that God, a lot of people had small beginnings. A lot of big guys in the Bible had small beginnings. You know, just think of a few. David, you know, David was a shepherd. Small beginnings. He was tending his dad's sheep. You know, when he was called in and anointed as king. Several more, I can't think of them offhand, but there's a lot of people in the Bible, the disciples, you know, they were fishermen. They were fishermen. They became disciples here when God called them, you know. And so all people throughout the Bible, Gideon, he was an unknown. And so many people in the Bible were just ordinary people. And so when I read this, this is one of the minor prophets. This is actually one of the first written prophetic books. Not the word this time. And it came from Amos. Just an ordinary guy. And the thing about Amos was, he started off ordinary. He did what God told him to do. He answered the call of God when God said, go. He answered that call. And then you don't read anything else about him after that in the Bible at all. And nobody knows anything about what happened to him after that. But he was an ordinary guy that got a specific call from God, and he answered the call. But I love what he said. He said, I was no prophet, nor was I the son of a prophet. You know, he's getting blasted by the head priest. He says, go take your prophets elsewhere. He said, I'm not a prophet. And I wasn't a prophet's son. He said, I was just a sheep herder. I was out minding my own business. So he was just a regular guy out doing his regular job. You know, when the Lord came to him, he was on the clock. You know, he was just at work one day. He was probably sitting there trying to decide. Taco Bell? Subway? Subway's healthier. Taco Bell's cheaper. Maybe he was just going to work through lunch that day and have lamb chops. I don't know. But it was just a regular day to him. But it says in 15, the Lord took me as I followed the flock. I was just, and I can almost see his frustration with the priest as he's saying that. Look, I was just following my flock. You know, I was just doing my job, and God showed up and he said, go. He said, go. Pastor Craig has been preaching This is a year to arise. And so when I read this, that's what kind of spoke to me. God told Amos. Amos had the same opportunity as we have this year. He said, go, arise, go. And that's what God's been speaking to this church today, that this is a year to arise, to go. And I'm encouraged when I read this, because I find out Amos, there was nothing special about Amos. He was just an ordinary guy. I identify a lot with ordinary. Now, some of you may say, no, you're not ordinary. But anyway, I am ordinary. I don't care what you say. Anyway, I'm just an ordinary guy. I don't have any special upbringing. I wasn't born into royalty or even a lineage of ministers or anything like that. I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm ordinary. And just like you, hopefully you're ordinary. How many of you would call yourself ordinary? Ordinary. Well, look, I was reading this. Here's what the Lord was speaking to me through this. The call that God's given us this year to arise and go, it's for everybody. It's for everybody. If you're ordinary, if you don't have anything special to offer, guess what? God's still calling to you this year to arise and to go. Amen? So he said, go, prophesy to my people. Arise. There he was at work, and all of a sudden, you have been chosen. You know, I think of those little, that cartoon, Toy Story, where the little green things are in the things and the claws coming down, you know, and they're like, you have been chosen. So anyway, but to all of you tonight, I believe God wants to let you know you've been chosen. God's calling out to you. You've been hearing it in the pulpit. And if you've been doing it, if you've been spending time in prayer, I can guarantee you've been hearing it in your prayer time. God's calling out to us today. God's calling out to us this year. Arise and go. Amen. Well, that echoed. That almost, did you plan that, Joe? It sounded really good. Anyway, so we don't add special effects. I was just joking. But we've been chosen to rise and to go, just like Amos. And the encouraging thing about this is, if God can take a shepherd, just an ordinary guy, out of a field while he's on the job, and give him a calling and a mission that could lead to the restoration and the saving of a whole nation, what can God do with you? Man, God wants to use you to reach people. You may not go reach a whole nation, but you can reach those in your family. You can reach those you work with. You can reach everybody you come in contact in your little area, and you could be the one that would make a difference in their life that would lead them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You could change their eternity. And the encouraging thing is that it doesn't require a Bible degree. It doesn't require special skills and talents. Although, if you're called to some ministries, I hope you do have some talents. Praise and worship, something like that, you know. Larry, guitar player, singer there. If you didn't have it, you'd just be making a joyful noise. But you can still do it. Anyway, but it doesn't require special talents or family lineage of powerful ministers or anything like that. Because when you say yes to Jesus, when you say yes to God, you become part of a new family, right? You gain a new bloodline when you say yes to Him. You have a new father and a new joint heir, Jesus Christ. I tell you what, and God will equip you for whatever He calls you to. God will equip you. When He says go, He's not going to let you just go in your own strength. You're going to go in His strength. You're going to go in His power. You're going to go with His anointing when He says go. And so tonight, I just want to encourage you to answer the call. I've got 3 minutes. Arise and go. It's for everyone. The next thing about this scripture I want to read is verse 16. It says, now therefore. Oh, wait. Okay. Well, that's just thing. So he had just got blasted by Amaziah. He had just gotten told, take your stuff elsewhere. And so he said, take your prophecy elsewhere. Go, you prophet. And he said, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was in my flock. And God said, go. And then he said, so guess what he said? I'm going. God said, go, I'm going. You can deny, you can rebuke me. You can tell me to go all you want, but I'm going to do what God called me to do. And in verse 16, he said, now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. And he didn't hesitate. He didn't stop. He didn't let the opposition slow him down a bit. He told him what God called him to do, and he proceeded to tell him what God said. He didn't let that stop him. He didn't let opposition. He didn't let somebody tell him, I don't agree with anything you say. Stop him. And it wasn't a nice rebuke. It wasn't a, well, now Amos, come here, Amos. Let's talk. Let's Now, we don't really quite agree, you know, with everything you're saying here. Well, it wasn't something like that, man. It was, beat it, you know, get out of here, you know. And so even though he suffered all that, I mean, that was hard. And this was coming from the head priest of the nation. He didn't let that faze him. He didn't let that faze him. And there's a reason why. And that's because, he held himself accountable to do what God called him to do. And just like Allison was talking up here earlier, he didn't have a fear, man. He had a healthy fear of God. And he knew that if man said something contrary to what God said, he was going to follow God. He was going to follow God. And we've got to have that perseverance. We've got to have that conviction in our life that when we know that God's speaking to us, we got to cast aside any fear of man, any, not worry about what other people think. We've got to take hold of what God said to do. We got to take accountability for what God's called us to, and we got to move forward despite opposition. Amen. I know y'all are enjoying it more than you're sounding. So I'm trying to help y'all a little bit. Amen. All right. So here we go. Y'all help me out. I didn't bring my cue cards for you. So anyway, even after that harsh rebuke, he said, now, verse 16, now therefore, this is the way it is. Now listen to this. This is what God said. And he proceeded. I was reading an article by a guy named Dan Betcher, and he had a statement in there I thought was really good. He said, it's one thing to be accountable to a church or a board or superintendent or boss or whoever. He said, but to be accountable to Christ is a whole different ball game. And when God gives you something, when God puts something on your heart and says, you're the chosen one, you know, or may not sound dramatic like that, but when God says, I want you, Landa, I've got something for you. Vashti, do this. Go pray for these people. Go speak this word. Go start this ministry, whatever it is. Go help in kids' church. Boy, there's just something right there. I just feel like we're onto something right there. Go help in kids' church. Okay, that's me, not Lord. But anyway, but if you feel, bear witness, you know. Anyway, so anyway, but when he says, "I want you to do this," you know, we've got to be accountable with what God gives us. We've got to hold ourselves accountable to follow through with the burden that God's put on our heart. Because I believe this. I don't believe God ever burdens you with something that doesn't burden him. I don't believe God will ever put something on your heart that's not dear to his heart. And so when we realize that when God puts something on our heart, it's something dear to him. And it's something he's chosen us to do. And nobody else, okay, if you just flat out will not do it, God will find somebody. God will get his job done. But only you can do it like he wants you to do it. There's some people that only you will come in contact with. And if you don't, they may not. You know, they may not get the message. I mean, we've had people come to this church and respond to altar calls and lose their life, you know, a couple days later. And had our pastors not followed the Holy Spirit and delivered the message that God told them to, those lives could have been lost in hell forever. But man, there's purpose and there's meaning to everything that God lays on your heart. So we've got to hold ourselves accountable. We've got to take that thing serious. And we've got to follow through with what God's put on our heart to do. Amen? 1 Corinthians 3, 9 and 15 says, now if anyone builds on this foundation, which gold or silver or precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it was. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. There's eternal value in the things that God gives you. The things that God puts on your heart and the things that you follow through with, that God's laid on your heart. There's eternal value in that, and that's not the scripture I thought it was. But anyway, and so we've got to be held accountable to that. We've got to hold ourselves accountable to that and honor God when he puts something on there. Be accountable to Christ. And I'm just going to mention the other couple of things. It's time to go. But the other thing I want you to notice from that verse, that passage, we'll back up. If you back up to verse 2, verse 4, some of the things that God had pronounced on them. You know, one of the things in verse 2, it says, they pronounced some things, and then, but Amos had compassion. Amos had compassion on him. And he's like, "Oh Lord, forgive, I pray. Oh, that Jacob may stand, for he's small." So the Lord relented concerning it. So one of the judgments, God said, "Okay, I won't do it." But then there was another, a vision of fire. It says, "The Lord God showed me, behold, the Lord God called for a conflict by fire, and it consumed the great and the deep and devoured the territory. And then I said, Oh God, cease, I pray, oh, that Jacob may stand, for he is small." So the Lord relented concerning this. And this also shall not be. So here's the thing about this. Well, I just want to bring it out real quick, is that God responds to obedience. How many times did Moses cry out for the children of Israel and God had mercy? And here Amos cries out for mercy and God had mercy. When you walk in obedience, that moves God. That moves God. And at first, when I first felt like the Lord was speaking, I was like, that moves God. Obedience moves God. And I thought, well, you know, I've always heard that the only thing that moves God is faith. But you can't have obedience to God without faith. If God speaks something to you and you move in obedience, then that tells me that you have faith. Because it takes faith to walk in obedience. Because God's usually not going to give you something to do that you can do in yourself. Usually when God calls you to something, it's something that you're going to have to rely on the strength of God, the heart of God, the anointing of God to do. And when you walk out and when you step out in obedience with something God's told you to do, that tells me that you got faith. It takes faith to walk in obedience. And that moves God. That moves God. And this, God granted mercy. God granted mercy to the children of Israel because of Amos. And so as we move out, And as we move out in obedience and we move out to the call, when God says go, when we go, when God says arise, we arise and we move out in obedience, that moves God. And God has compassion. Our obedience can bring the mercy and the saving grace of God to others. Amen? And we don't have time to go through the rest. It's time to go. But the other thing, when God says go, when God says arise, it's not just because He wants you up. It's because He wants to take you somewhere. We don't have time to get into that. But you can make that in your notes. You're making notes. When God says arise, it's because He wants to take you somewhere. Amen? And if we respond and let the Holy Spirit lead us, John 16:13 says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to have it all figured out. All we have to do is obey, arise, and trust the Holy Spirit to lead us through what God's called us to do. Amen? Praise God. Well, we're going to wrap it up. I don't want to keep you long. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Father God, I just thank You, God, for Your word. Lord, I thank You, Lord God, that You've called us to something special this year, God, that You've called us, God, out of where we are. God, You don't want us to sit in the place that we've been sitting. You don't want us to grow comfortable, God, or stagnant, God, but You have a call for us this year, God, to arise, God, to go, Lord God. And I pray, Father God, that You would give us, God, the strength, that You would give us the wherewithal, God, the perseverance, God, and the knowledge, God, to know to move when You say move, God, to act when You say act, God. Let us be Your voice to a lost and dying world, God. Let us be Your hand extended to those that need the love of Jesus shown in their life, God. Let us be the light that shines Your love and Your compassion to this world, to this city, God, to those around us, God, in Jesus' name, God. I pray that every person in here today, God, Lord God, that You would just put a fire and a desire in their heart, God, to arise and to go, God, and to respond to Your word, God, to hold themselves accountable, God, to Your word, and to realize, God, that everything that You put on their heart are things that are dear to Your heart. God, help us to carry out, God, Your desire and Your heart in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.